Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. When I was alone, you took me in your great family and gave me new hope, said that I could live eternally. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, its treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding his still care, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, treasure untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. Life is full of snares, trials seem so hard to bear. It's then that I reach for that hand I know is always there. And finding his still care, I bow my head and say this simple prayer. With all my heart, thank you, Lord. Yes, with all my heart and with all my soul, thank you for Calvary, riches untold. Thank you for heaven fair, that place you prepared me there. Now with all my heart, thank you, Lord. At top number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all the day long. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to sing. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's why I'll make Jesus my all and all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's why I'll make Jesus my all and all. And if I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less of a man. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I'll learn to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's the truth. This journey that you and I are on, it's impossible to do it on your own. If you do it on your own, you'll just become, oh man, there's a lot of people I know, they're doing it on their own, trying to serve God, trying to serve Jesus with their natural abilities. And then it's all self-righteousness. I learned early on I can't do it. There's times you need the Lord. Impossible to do this journey here that you and I are on, these closing days of time. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to make it. It's just that simple. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And all our frustrations, I need you, I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And all my frustrations, I need you, I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said. But I'll not complain, for I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. But many the trial I once in my dreams put me through.
And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The higher I soar in my dreams, the harder I fall. Sometimes I've wondered if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments can keep me blinded and blue. That when I'm reminded of sweet peace I have, Lord, in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all our frustrations, I need you, I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace. with frustrations. I need you, I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace that I have, there, Lord, is in you. It's set up that way that you can't make it without the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's no room for pride. It's set up that way. It's Jesus or nothing. I'm glad I learned that early on. That without Jesus, you can't do nothing. There's no room for pride. If you got proud, you're in the wrong business. Come, ye sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free, for he saved the worst among you. When he saved a wretch like me, and I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains makes a way. Findeth water in the desert, turns the night to golden day. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation he is near, he holds the power of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He will keep the wild ages, roll throughout eternity. Though earth hinders and hell rages, all must work for good to thee. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He will keep the wild ages, roll throughout eternity. Though earth hinders and hell rages, all must work for good to thee. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed his faithful life of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. He is sounding forth the trump that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. It's marching on towards the day of the Lord. If you cannot come on board, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. God's got a great plan. He had this planned out before the foundation of the world. And he's marching on. You can't stop his marching. You can't stop God. Mm-hmm. You gotta come on board or you're gonna have to suffer the consequences. You can see it history, all throughout history. People refuse to march on with the Lord and they get stuck and then they don't know nowhere. And then they become evolve into synagogue of Satan. See, you and I, we're marching on with the truth for our day. Back in the 60s, it was Brother Branham, and then from 65 to 2004, with Brother Jackson. Now you and I are holding on to the things that have been firmly established. We're just marching on, and the people that are on board, they're going to march right into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the rest will be left without, just that simple. Then it evolves into, it falls into something else, and it falls into you're going to have to give your life. You and I, everything is so simple because all we're doing, we're just reading the blueprint. It's just that simple. Like, we could go back in the church age of Laodicea. I keep saying it over and over again. That's why we keep repeating it, because it's the only thing that's worth repeating. Everything else, that thing out there, they call church and all that stuff and these religious, all of this is just deception. It's why Jesus said the deception can be of such magnitude that it will deceive the very elect. And we're holding on to the fort. We're on target. We're not caving to all that stuff that's out there. And they can make fun of us if they want to, because when they make fun of us, you know you're right on track, because they made fun of Noah. They made fun of Lot. They made some fun of Jesus. The mockers, they'll always be around. And they'll always mock what God is doing in the hour they're living in. They mocked that babe back in the day of Abraham. They mocked at him just like everybody else is mocking. Mm-hmm. He always said he's going to have a son, and he's already 9 years old. Where's his son? That's how they kept mocking him. Mm-hmm. And when God does something, they're going to mock you, just that simple. They're mocking you and me too, but it don't bother us. It's just let them mock. They're only doing it to themselves, and now here we are. The closing days of time, and like I say, the truth is marching on, whether people mock or whether they, no matter what they do, and it don't ask for no permission to move on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You either get on board or you're gonna be left standing without. Just that simple. We decided we're gonna move on with truth, and when it was introduced to us, that's what we did. Kept moving on, and here we are, just the closing days of time. The finishing touches right here. Whether people like it or not, that's their problem. We can't convince nobody. It's not our job. We got to seek your own salvation. The minute we try to help somebody, we run into trouble. Every time it backfires, they start slandering us and making us look something we're not. And just the nature of the beast, just the way it is. 2 Timothy 2:11. This saying is trustworthy. We died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, since he cannot deny himself. I've seen a lot of people that started this journey, but somewhere along the road of life, they just decided to pack it in, and they don't continue, they don't endure. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We have to endure, because if we don't endure, it's just going to catch us unprepared. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, he shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he is abided faithful, he cannot deny himself. That's what we're doing. We're just holding on to the fort. We're just trying to be endure to the end. That's all we're doing. We have it good, I think. We have it good compared to what the people before us had to go through, like Jeremiah, you know. What he had to go through, oh, man. And then Hosea, these people went through a lot. Here, you and I, we have it, like I say, we have it good compared to what these people had to go through. All we, you and I, have to do, we're just holding on to the things that have been firmly established, of course. And there is persecution, because the person that's persecuting you is the devil. He does not like one. He does not like you and me to hold on to the fort, to come up with, like he's working overtime to try to hide the fact that God sent the prophet. Because you put on your YouTube, nobody will tell you. And then the Branhamites, they make it sacrilegious. They make Brother Branham stink. You make it look like nobody wants to touch it. And see, the worst thing you could do for the devil in his hour is mention Brother Branham's name. Brother Branham was just a local course of that angel. And the devil, he don't like people to want to know these seven stars are the only way to eternal life. Because the Bible says so. This is going to be eternal life that they believe on them whom I will send. And the devil has had his heyday over here, but see, we're here in this closing days. We've exposed him. We've allowed people to see that is, we take the flip side, that is not eternal life. If you do not believe that God sent the prophet, that God sent these seven stars, then you got no eternal life. You have no scripture to back it up. It's just a delusion, an imaginary life. And you and I, we're holding on to the things that we know are true, and we go back and forth, we examine ourselves, and we look at biblical history, and we look at the church world, and we know exactly what happened in the Dark Ages. We know exactly what happened when Paul said, after our departure, grievous wolves will come on the scene, and we see what's been going on for the last 2,000 years. And you and I, we also know what happened once God took Brother Jackson off the scene. Everybody's now free to go out and sell their wares. Everybody's going to come up with whatever they feel like coming up. There's James Allen, the person we're supposed to look up to. He comes out, we're in the third day. Well, that's foolish to say we're in the third day. Good thing we were brought up in a religious society. We know what the third day is. The third day is the millennium. And we've learned that over the years. Now, somebody comes and tells me, the barn is red, when I know very well it's blue. It's about the stupid people. And he's got followers. He's got people sitting there week after week believing his garbage. If you come out and say something like we're in the third day, when you know very well we're not in the third day, then I tell you what, you're following the wrong person. See, we're holding on to the truth. We know what happened. We know what happened in the church age of Laodicea. God sent that angel, and then that angel found a prepared vessel that God had prepared before he was even born. And then that angel linked up with that prepared vessel. And then along he goes off the scene, and then he finds another vessel that God had prepared over the years. And he found Brother Jackson, and that angel took his vocal cords and his makeup, and he was a real historian, Brother Jackson was. He knew his history, and he knew... He's the only person that could do the things that he did. They could go back in the prehistoric and explain everything right to the deed. I had 10 years of glorious listening to him till the Lord took him off the scene. And then, like I say, we were all in disarray. And And we taught Ellen and Bud, they're going to continue on with the program because they sat there as an assistant pastor. Well, surely they should know. And before you know it, oh man, he got so ugly that we couldn't even go near them eventually after 2-3 years. And then that split came and people decided we can't listen to him anymore. And some of them split. And I called out Ellen. I said, I can't support you anymore because you're teaching wrong. He didn't like it, and then he told everybody not to pick up the phone when I called him. And you know the story. But see, we're just holding on to the fort. Mm-hmm. We're holding on to things that are solid, that have been firmly established. And that's why we keep talking about things that happened amongst us, like that man from Forest River Colony, that boss. He had an out-of-the-body experience, a very solid man. And people looked up to him, and here he dies, and he has a heart attack. He's dead for 17 minutes, and then he begged and pleaded with the Lord to give him another chance. He realized what he'd been doing all his life was just a waste of time. He was trying to hold up a system that's nothing but Roman Catholicism. He said it's nothing but deception, just like everything that the Catholic Church does. It's all just deception, just make-believe. And then he came back and he went for 2-3 years. He drove around wherever he could, tried to give his testimony. And That thing went to sleep right away. You think they down that Forest River call, that's all they would have left for after that. But they go back into the cesspool again. And I went down and talked to his boy. It looked like they wished he'd had the Lord would have never given him a chance because he was upsetting the apple cart down there. They were all materialistic. And when he comes along and says, it's just deception, you know, he was continuing on with this program. And he could find nobody that would give him an ear. I happened to hear him. I happened to see his lips tremble. I happened to see the tears in his eyes. I happened to see sit right in front of him when he told his testimony, when he came to my dad's house and told it. And I heard it, and it troubled me. And for years, I walked around like in a daze, like a zombie. Knowing I'm working in that colony for nothing. But see, the devil, he didn't like that. And he put that thing to sleep. But he did put it to sleep, and the time was right. I just went out and did exactly what he begged and pleaded my dad. He said, John, there's something out there somewhere. All we got to do is put our life on the line and go look for it. And that's what I did, and I found it. I found it right in the ministry of Brother Branham. And I found exactly what the Bible says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. I found that voice. And I'm tooting the horn forever and a day now already because that's the only thing that's worth talking about. But in that, you were going to get persecuted, like I said the other day. If you walk in the truth for your day, you will be persecuted. Mm-hmm. You might as well accept that just a matter of the fact. That's just the way it works. Everybody that's been walking in truth, and the truth for his day, you can go out there and preach your head off. And the devil, he loves it when these preachers come out with all these phony stuff. As long as they don't hit the nail on the head, you can go hammer away all you want all day long. As long as you don't hit the nail, you ain't going anywhere. The same thing here. If you don't tell people what's been going on in the hour and time we're living in, you're missing the mark. You're not going to go anywhere. But if you hit we're hitting the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. That's why we're being persecuted. That's why the devil, he tries to trip us up every inch of the way. And he sends in his tugs, and they try to divert us, and they try to water us down, and they try to make fun of us. But that don't matter. We know what we had to go through to find his truth. And I think back, you know, I had to suffer a lot to find his truth. And I don't want to have to go through it again. That's why I'm holding on for dear life. We got a lot to hold on to because it's the only thing that's worth holding on to. And that's all we're doing. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life and the many things you do for us, Lord. Just too numerous to mention when you take inventory of ourselves, Lord, have you led and guided and the concern you have for humankind, for the human race, Lord, that you went to Calvary, that you did all these things, and then you sent these seven angels. He said you prepared these church age messengers like the Apostle Paul. He went He told him he's going to have to suffer a lot to walk against the pricks. And then you sent Irenaeus, and then you sent, you know, you had all these people prepared, Martin and Colombo and Martin Luther and John Wesley and Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson. Now here, we're closing everything out. Is this the closing day of the time? Because the truth has moved on to where we are today, Lord. We just give you thanks that you've saw us fit and that you've prepared us for the day and hour we're living in, Lord. We just pray and ask that you help us to be faithful and true, to endure to the end, and to continue on with the program, Lord. We pray you give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
It's all very simple. Like I say, we got it so easy compared to what Jeremiah and Hosea. Look at all. I read their history. I read what they had to go through, especially Jeremiah. They threw him down a well, and all the things he had to go through back in the day, and then Ezekiel and Isaiah and Hosea, all these people he had to go through it here. We've been given an electric car. The Lord has given us all these goodies. And then all we got to do now is going to just stay, continue to stay on for the truth that he has been given us in these closing days of time. We don't even have to go out there and preach it. We just have to tell people what happened in the church in the Laodicea. Because Brother Branham preached for 40 years, then Brother Jackson preached for 40 years, a real historian. And we're just directing people back to the what happened there in the 20th century. And anything outside of that will take you to hell and death, like I keep saying. This is going to be eternal life. That they believe of them whom I will send, and I like to take the flip side of it. That's why I keep going back to Hosea. Hosea, back in his day, he said, because you reject the knowledge, like I say, back in the day, Hosea got his understanding and his knowledge direct from God. He's God. It's the only one that has knowledge. Back in the days of Hosea was just the transmitter for God. And he told the people exactly what they need to do in his hour. And then he comes on and he says, because you've rejected knowledge, because you rejected God, because you've rejected the message for your day, I will reject you, that you'll be no more priest before me, and I will forget your children. Now, when you take the flip side of it, I like to take the flip side of it. That this is because you have accepted knowledge, you will remain to be priest before me, and I will remember your children. You got to take the flip side of it. When you go back to what Jesus said, the flip side of it, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe in them whom I will send, and you take the flip side of it, if you do not accept these seven angels, then you have no scripture to guarantee that you go to have eternal life. It's just that simple. It comes through these church age messengers that John turned around and he saw Jesus holding seven stars in his hand. And then he let them know what these seven stars represent. They represent the seven angels to the churches throughout the grace age. Mm-hmm. And we're just at the tail end of it here. He sent Brother Brennan, he sent that angel. I keep saying it over and over again, because anything outside of that is going to lead you out to hell. And I know it's a very hard, it's very hard for people to accept it, because it's come so foreign. Satan has managed to hide this fact. Mm-hmm. And now here we come along and we bring everything back to life again and we tell people where it's at. If you're not part of this channel, if you're not part of the chapter, then you have no guarantee that you're going to have eternal life. Mm-hmm. I know God's got, there's people that are going to be in heaven that don't even know about Brother Brennan, but God has his way because he has the key to hell and death. And the Bible says, Peter was given the key to salvation, to eternal life, but Jesus has the key to hell and death. And he said, everybody that my Heavenly Father has given to me will come to me. We just happened throughout the grace, the Lord found, we found grace in the eyes of God, and the Lord just happened to show us exactly what's been going on in the last 100 years. Especially after Brother Jackson left, this whole thing was up in turmoil, and you and I, we're the only two people that keep on going after after he left. The other people, the Relaforts and James Allens and all these people, they're just out there trying to sell their wares. And they got nothing to sell. It's just gibberish, just garbage. See, we're holding on to the fort. We're holding on to the thing that have been firmly established in the day and hour we're living in. And then that, of course, you will be persecuted, because if you're part of that nucleus of people that are going contending on, that are doing, you will be persecuted. Mm-hmm. All those that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. And we've put in the outs by all these so-called zealots and these scorpions and these so-called preachers. They put us in the out because we're not dancing to their tune. We're dancing to the tune of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And the Lord treats us good.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because when I came to the message of my day and hour, to the message of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, then I knew, like I said the other day, I knew at a different level what persecution is. Because then all those denominations out there, they're against you. And even your own family comes against you, because it's like totally something foreign. But that's why when you will look at the church age of Laodicea, it's lukewarm. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't take seriously what Brother Branham, the message for the day and hour was, that it was all about baptism in Jesus' name and getting back to the faith of the early church and restoring all the truths that had been lost. And that's why the people don't want to move on with God, and then they'll persecute those people who do. Mm-hmm. And that's why these churches out there are lukewarm, and why Jesus said, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And that's what has happened. He spewed them out of his mouth, because Jesus is no longer in the church system. Like, ever so often you will hear of a movement that's starting, but after a bit it dwindles down, because it has no foundation, because it's not part of that stream, it's not part of that channel, that vine. I'm the vine and ye are the branches. Every branch that abided in me, see, it's abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has for your day and hour. And in Laodicea, he sent the prophet. And if you are part of that channel, then it will go somewhere. But the other movement that started up, after a while, they just dwindle down. And there's not much there. Like, there was this Reawakening America tour. It's still going, but there's no life in it. They still have the same thing going, but those are the movements that come about. But in the end, there's nothing really behind it, because they're not part of that stream, that not part of those seven stars that Jesus held in his right hand. They're probably maybe preparing them for the millennium, but it's not part of that making a bride ready. It's not part of that at all. And like I said, like people, even like when you stand for the truth for your day and hour, they mock you. They make fun of you because you are weird to them. You're odd to them. And I thought about Elijah today, and I thought about those youths that came out and they started calling him names. And I thought to myself, why did they feel at liberty to do that? Like, they felt like they had the rights to go ahead and call him names. And it was because he was the mock of society in his day and hour. He was the one that people mocked. And that's why these young people, they felt at liberty to go on ahead and make fun of him too. And the same way with this hour, they will make fun of people that follow the ways of God and the truth for your day and hour. It's just that simple.
See, those kids, they heard their parents, mm-hmm. Mark Elijah.
42 of them. Like, how could they all of a sudden decide they're going to go make fun of Elijah? There's more to the story than it just says.
It was the top of the town. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I, we're the top of the town, you know. They figured they'd get there at liberty to mock it. I got an email yesterday. I was on my phone, And the guy mocking us, and he doesn't even know he's mocking us. But he's mocking us because it's in the air, it's in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Just like deception is out there, the whole universe is loaded with deception of every description, and so it's this mocking thing. They mocked Noah, the whole environment was mocking Noah, and they mocked Moses back in the days of Moses, and the whole congregation mocked Moses, and when the earth swallowed them up, and they said to Moses, "You killed the Lord's people." They were so deceived and so brainwashed because it was in the air. Behind it was the spirit of Satan trying to raise the ropes, trying to cause trouble. But see, people have no excuse. All they had to do was believe what Moses said. And then because they did, they were so easily swayed when these muckers came upon, like when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram came along, and they started polluting the whole people. They had a lot of charisma and a lot of way to talk, and then they got the whole people coming in, riled up against Moses, and they would talk, they would make fun of Moses, and then the God saw the situation, and he brought these serpents, these fiery serpents upon them, and these fiery serpents bit them, and they had a horrible pain going through, that went through their body when they got bit with these serpents, and they cried to the Lord, and the Lord told Moses, "Put up that brass serpent," and then, all they have to do, all they got to do is look at that brass serpent. But there were people there that were so hard-hearted because all they've done all their life was mock Moses and mock Aaron. And now here, Moses, they saw Moses put up a brass serpent. But instead of looking at that brass serpent, what they did, they would rather die in their pain than look up at that brass serpent. There are lots of them that looked up that brass serpent and they got healed. But there's some among the crowd that had such a hatred for Moses that they did not look up at that serpent. It's the same thing today. There's people that mocked us, and they mocked us to the point where they can't even hear when we're talking. They just don't hear because they burned their britches, so to speak. But see, we don't pray for them. They don't have a prayer. They don't have a hope. And you were talking about that, these movements, you know. Back in the 90s, there was a movement, the Promise Keepers, you know. They had these stadiums sold out. I remember I even had myself booked, and I prayed about it, and the Lord told me not to bother going down there, and I didn't go by. It was down in Minneapolis where they had that whole stadium sold out, and I didn't bother going, but it looked good at the time, the Promise Keepers. All these men getting together, and they promise to be a better father and a better husband and all that stuff. But it's all artificial. Behind it is the Roman Catholic Church. I found out about it. I found that the Roman Catholic is driving that thing. And here's the same thing with these movements that you hear. Oh, there's a big movement down in Kansas. Oh, then that Clay Clark. We watched him here a few years back, and we could tell right away it's nothing but just another movement. Anything that, like I say, anything that's not connected to the ministry of Brother Jackson, Brother Brenham, here in these closing days of time, they're going to take the multitudes out to hell. And that's what that Clay Clark will do. Like you said, unless it's preparing them for that time when the sea of glass, when the rapture happens, what's going to happen, what's going to open up, it is blessed is he that dies at the Lord's remains. For there's some that are Christian, they're dedicated, and then they're going to have to be martyred. They're going to have to end up in that sea of glass. Mm-hmm. But they will have no part in this, and this bridal chamber, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They'll go on and on. See, yeah, God's grace keeps on going. Right. And then when that is done, it's 144,000 that go around the world, all over the world, fear God and give him the glory. See, salvation is over in that respect. But like I say, they'll have the so-called Christian, the Clay Car glue, and all these Promise Keepers group, there's genuine Christians in there, mm-hmm. but they're not interconnected to that these seven stars, to the church age message, mm-hmm. and they're not going to be part of the bride. They'll be part of that nucleus of people that you find back in the book of Revelation, the people standing on the sea of glass, right, multitudes, probably by the millions will stand on that sea of glass, but they're going to have to be martyred mm-hmm. here in the tribulation hour, just up the road. In fact, it's already starting. That what's his name now? That guy that got shot and assassinated.
Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk. He's gonna be in heaven. But he's been on that sea of glass because he was martyred for what he believed in. Mm-hmm. And all these people over there that are being butchered and martyred, these 50,000 or how many got killed there from these terrorists, and then they're all gonna be on that sea of glass because they were standing for a truth. Standing for something that they didn't believe in, that Muslim garbage. Mm-hmm. And they got butchered and slaughtered. I don't know how many thousand, at least 20, 30, 40,000.
They don't even tell you the real number.
It'd probably be 100,000 that are being butchered and slaughtered, and then they're going to just end up on the sea of glass. They're not, their fight is not in vain just because they have to give their life for it. It's already starting. That sea of glass is already beginning to fill up, and all these people that are standing for truth, that are standing for Americanism, that are standing for the things that Donald Trump is fighting for. He's fighting for justice and to bring America back where the founding fathers wanted it to be. Yeah. And anybody that supports him, if he gets killed in the meantime, he's going to end up on that sea of glass because he's a martyr for truth, he's a martyr for justice, he's a martyr for righteousness. But and the rest of them, the anti-Trumpers, they're just going to go out to hell, and that is just that simple. Because it's not that complicated to see, like where you and I are sitting at. We're seeing the scriptures unfold right before our eyes, and we don't have nothing else to talk about. We know the hour we're living in, we know what's been going on, and we're putting it out there on a day-to-day basis. And now, like I say, that's why we are being persecuted. That's why we're being shunned. That's why we've been put in the house. And I don't mind it because it doesn't do nothing to us. We just keep on going, and the Lord gives us everything we need over and above, because it says He'll give it to you, pressed down, shaken together, even running over. When you look and you take inventory, how good you and I have it. Like I say, of course you will be persecuted. Of course you'll be put in the house. But in the meantime, underneath the Lord, He hides us in the cleft of the rock. Underneath the Lord is counting every hair that falls from our head. All these things, He takes care of everything. He is going to give us the grace and the mercy to continue on with the program. That's all we're doing. And like the truth is marching on. Mm-hmm. And then soon and very soon, we're going to see the King, because He's going to march right into the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes and takes His bride out. And then all hell breaks loose for a number of years here down on earth. And then after that, that angel comes down, he ties up Satan, because the truth is marching on. It's just up the road. The blueprint's been made. The blueprint's been written before the foundation of the world. Right. And we just happen to step into it, and we have nothing else to say about it except the truth for your hour day. The truth is marching on, and we just happen to flow on, flow down that stream of life. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. That's why we're so happy. That's why nothing is moving us. That's why we're not shaken when they want to make fun of us. In fact, it says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you. We're not just talking about it. We're living the Word of God. And to us, to you and I, it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. There's not enough words you can say. That's why many times I talk too fast. I talk over myself, because we got joy unspeakable, full of glory. And we got nothing to complain about compared to what other people had to go through back like the prophet and the days of old. Here we're just holding on to the fort, holding on to the thing that we've been given here in these closing days of time. And you'll be hated from all men, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people out there. They're a lot more holier than you and I are. They're a lot more godly than you and I are. But they're not living godly in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's the difference. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, if you believe the message for your day, then you are going to be persecuted. You can go out there and preach till you're blue in the face, and you can have thousands upon thousands of people in your congregation. It doesn't mean a hill of beans, because you're not living godly in Christ Jesus. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to do exactly what we're doing here. You're going to tell people that God sent the prophet. And then you're going to tell them that that God sent an apostle. That's it. That would be your main focus, just like you and I. We somehow tapped into it by the grace of God, and that's all we're doing. We're just putting it out there, and whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever is a thirst, let him come. Whosoever hear, let him say, come. That's our only job description we have here in this closing day of the time. All we're doing, we're just telling people about the blueprint that has been firmly established before the foundation of the world. Back in Ephesians 1 again, God made himself a big counsel. When he was done with that blueprint, he said everything is going to happen exactly the way that blueprint goes. And it was a done deal in the mind of God. And to you and I, this whole thing is a done deal. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We've been persecuted because we're standing for the truth. But it's the end of the day that matters. It doesn't matter what happens to us here in time. It's just, it's the end of the day that you will one day be, somebody will tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all we're living for. Let them mock if they want. Like I say, just about every day we, somehow, one way or another, we get mocked at, but it don't bother us because, like I say, it's it. Blessed are ye when shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you, for great is reward in heaven. It's just that simple.
That's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks for everything you've done for us, Lord, for the journey that you have allowed us to walk on, Lord, and to represent the truth for our day and hour. For we know in there is persecution. Like it says, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But in that persecution, there is a place, Lord, of safety and harmony with you, Lord, because we are at a place in the perfect will of God. And that's where you can be. Everybody can be in that perfect will. But in it is persecution. But I always say, as long as our standing is right with God, and the rest doesn't matter. So we just want to live for you. We just pray that you'll help us. Give us the grace, Lord, to continue on with you, Lord, and serve you in spirit and truth. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.